I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You should have had them already. Welcome back to Pop and Joe. It's Donnie Chedrick. Next to me, we just got a visit from Alex Moser from Wiggle Whiskey down the road here. Mike's Beer Bar across the street. All kinds of cool places. As we're getting ready for the opener, our thanks to the Pirates for setting us up out here, making sure everything's good with us, lining us up with guests. We're in good shape here, Donnie. Opening day. Yankees in town. What's better than this? Well, maybe Ray Fittipaldo for a moment, and then we're going to get back into baseball and talk about, as we head into year 25 at PNC Park, talk about some of the great moments that we've seen in this ballpark, and maybe even some of the bad ones, right? And for the most part, I mean, let's be honest, it's been, what, 4 winning seasons, I think?
Yes, they had the one that was
they what, snuck 80, in that late
82
one in the,
and 79.
Yeah, and late in the hurdle era, they snuck one in there, didn't they?
Yes, but otherwise, it's been the 3 playoff appearances, and then that
right,
one, and that's
exactly.
It.
All right, limits. Do we have Ray Fittipaldo?
We got him.
That's the music, isn't it? Ray Fittipaldo, brought to you by the Western Pennsylvania Injury Attorneys. Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. Ray, you have any opening day memories and also your single best memory from going to a game at PNC Park? Please share. You're on with Donnie Chedrick and myself.
Oh, man. Favorite. I mean, my dad took us to so many games when I was a kid. I do remember the first autograph I ever got was by a backup catcher by the name of Duffy Dyer. He signed for me probably before one of the Sunday afternoon games.
Wait, that was back at Three Rivers Stadium. I'm talking PNC Park.
Oh, God, PNC Park. I don't know. I mean, I haven't gone. I mean, we always go 2 or 3 times a year, usually when the Yankees are in town.
Yeah.
He's got the Ronnie Paulino signed baseball somewhere.
we're
Chris Duffy, maybe.
Sunday. We're supposed to go Sunday, and the temperature at first pitch is going to be 40 degrees.
Wow.
It's always so hit or miss. I was just telling, you know, somebody stopped by to say hello to us. I actually think the weather today is fine for it. Like,
it's perfect
for me.
Yeah.
It's, you know, hoodie, jeans. I'm in good shape. You don't have to bundle up too much, but you're not going to, you know, be sweating all day. I mean, I've gone to opening days where it snows. I've gone to opening days where it's 80 degrees.
The Neil Walker day, I think, may have started with a little bit of snow or certainly frost.
And then I think that the 2015 opener, they played the Tigers, and that
yeah.
was 85 degrees that day. I was roasted by the time that I got back home.
Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. His business is football. Ray, our colleague at the Post-Gazette, Jerry Dulac, says the Steelers have ruled out a first-round quarterback. And yet, all these mock drafts I see – keep coming up, Jackson Dart, Bruce, I was going to say Bruce Arthur, Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. Even Adam Schefter said that if Shedeur Sanders should wind up available, and there is a path where that could happen, by the way, that they might jump on that. So what are we to read into all this as we get closer and closer to the draft?
Well, you're at the ballpark today, so you might not have seen the news. Jackson Dart is at the facility today taking a pre-draft visit.
Oh, so. You should have seen the look on Joe's face, Ray, when you said that.
I knew you had to be consumed with opening day stuff, Joe, not to have that news, because we published it about an hour ago.
Wow.
But listen.
Thanks for telling me limits, but go ahead.
I wonder why.
Listen, I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it. It's noteworthy, but Andy Weidel went to the Ole Miss Pro Day last week. Omar and Mike were at the owners' meetings. I don't know why Ole Miss scheduled its Pro Day during the owners' meetings, but basically that's what they did. So this is probably more of a visit to get to know the GM and get to know the head coach better, but Andy was the one who was down there last week evaluating all of those prospects. And we should mention, it's much more than Jackson Dart. It's Walter Nolan, who could be a first-round target. They got Trey Amos, a receiver who could be a second- or third-round target. So they got, like, six or seven guys who might be drafted. But, yes, Jackson Dart is in Pittsburgh today.
Okay, but the fact that he's here is still significant, no? Like, if they had – for guys that they have zero interest in, they would never invite them here. Is that an accurate statement?
That is correct.
Donnie?
But they have been known to bring guys in here to ask them about their teammates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ray, he's also not the only quarterback they've had visit, correct? And they had Tyler Shuck, I want to say, a couple of weeks ago.
He got the early bird special over at Bob Evans on his way in, Donnie.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's just discuss this a little bit further. So we know that Omar and Mike go to all the big pro days, and they go to a lot of the same pro days every year. So they were at Ohio State with Will Howard. They had dinner with him out there, got to know him. Riley Leonard at Notre Dame. Quinn Ewers at Texas, Jalen Milrow at Alabama. So they were killing two birds with one stone there. They went to see the workout, and they had to get to know them dinner the night before. Okay, so we just said they couldn't be at Ole Miss. They also couldn't be at Louisville. So that's probably a reason that Shuck came in for a visit too, because the Steelers couldn't get to his pro day. You can't go to every single pro day, but there are prospects at smaller schools like Louisville that, you know, you want to bring a guy in to get to know him better. Not that Ole Miss is a smaller school, guys. It's just not the normal – it's not one of the normal stops on their pro day tour.
Ray Fittipaldo, Post-Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. All right, so bottom line here, percent chance the Steelers take a quarterback in the first round, and if Shedeur Sanders is available, does that change – the equation for you? Like, are they going to jump on that if he's still there?
Well, I mean, if I had to put a percentage on it today, I think it's low. I'm going to say 5 or 10%. You know, as far as Sanders goes, I don't know what to make of him. You know, you see him in the top five, and then there's speculation he might be there at 21. I mean, it's not going to be that way in a couple of weeks. We're going to have a much more defined scenario in time on where he will go. Now, I did see a report recently, forget who it was, so forgive me, but apparently the Browns and Giants are maybe out on him, so that's part of where the speculation is. But, you know, the Saints need a quarterback, and they're in the top 10. You know, there's some other teams. I mean, the Colts picked before the Steelers. They don't have a quarterback right now, at least, you know, Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. So, there's a bunch of teams in front of them that I have a hard time believing will pass on a quarterback. And then, Joe, you also have to think, if Shedeur Sanders is there at number 21, what the heck is wrong with a guy?
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ray, do you think defensive tackle is still the leader in the clubhouse where they'll go at 21?
I do. You know, you have some dark horse position still in there. Like, I wouldn't rule out running back, but I would give that a similarly low percentage like quarterback. But you have to keep it in consideration. And we just had Matthew Golden in here for a visit. So that he was really, before Dart today, he was really the only surefire first-rounder who had been in here. You know, a lot of second- and third-round guys have made their way through, you know, the Southside facility in the last couple of weeks. But Golden and Dart are really the only guys, like, who are top 30 prospects who have been in there. So make of that what you will. You know, a lot of speculation. We're going to try to get that second-round pick back. I think that's probably true. We'll see if they can swing that. But I think in the coming weeks, we are going to see a lot more first-round prospects come in. And, you know, that's probably starting today with Jackson Dart.
All right, Ray, let's get to the bottom of your opinion on Jackson Dart, who ranked first in passing grade here at PFF, I might add, on accuracy rate. On throws between 5 and 25 yards, he was an outstanding rusher compared to other quarterbacks. He hasn't had a red zone interception in 2 years, Ray. 2 years. And you know how much Mike Tomlin loves that. He's an outstanding athlete. He's tough. He's a leader. He can make all the throws. He had a really good combine. And now he's visiting teams such as the Steelers. What do you have against him, Ray?
It's not me personally, but the one thing you do here, and this is hard for people to differentiate, to just sit down and watch college football games on the weekend as opposed to like sitting down and really understanding everything that goes on. One of the criticisms you hear is everything was set up for Jackson Dart because a lot of stuff was schemed open for him. And you do see a lot of receivers running wide open that he hits accurately, and let's give him credit, he hits them accurately, but they are schemed open for him. And there's a difference when you get to the NFL. The passing windows are going to be tighter. Accuracy is going to be even more important. And that's all part of the evaluation process. You know, how much does the college system help the quarterback? What's he going to face in the pros? So that's the one thing. And he was a good runner. I think he could be a decent runner in the NFL. But I think his time, I don't know if he ran it at the combine. He might have run at the pro day, but I think the time I saw was 4.85. That's not blazing, guys. 4.85 is fast enough if you want to scramble a little bit, but you ain't going to be outrunning people in the NFL if you run a 4.85.
He's going to be jumping over them, Ray. He led this entire quarterback class with 25 explosive runs against Power 4 teams. That's more than Jalen Milroe.
Joe, he ran a 4.85, though.
I know. It's not a sprinting contest. He's going to run. What you need to do, though, honestly, is be able to make plays on the move. I don't really care if he's you know, going to outrun anybody, but he does keep his eyes down the field. And from what I've seen, he's really good on the run. That's what I care about more than actually compiling yards or outrunning defenders. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a knack to it, right? I mean, you can run a 4.85 and you can know your way around the pocket and create time for yourself. You can have an uncanny ability to get first downs. But there is a huge difference when you're talking about a guy like Jalen Milroe, who I think ran in the 4.4s or 4.5s at his pro day, and then 4.85. I mean, like, everything in the NFL just happens faster, and I think you got to be really careful about projecting Jackson Dart's running ability to the NFL. That's all.
Ray, would you rather take Dart at 21, or would you rather them take a guy later on like a Milroe in the third, or, I don't know, Will Howard or Quinn Ewers, somebody a little bit later on?
Yeah, as long as they got, like, one of the top defensive tackles, like a Walter Nolan or a Derek Harmon or a Kenneth Grant at 21. Third, fourth round, take any of those guys you mentioned. I don't have a bead on which one of those guys they like best. You know, they are being very thorough with all of them. I think one of those guys on day three, late day two, would be fine.
All right, Ray. And we're talking to Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Find his stuff at postgazette.com. Donnie Chedrick and myself here next to the Stargell statue. It's actually a very nice morning, early afternoon out here. People starting to file into the North Shore, getting pumped for the Yankees being in town. Ray, come join us and say hello, was the point of that little soliloquy. How about Aaron Rodgers? That's the story. What's going on here? Why is he waiting? Is he still waiting on the Vikings? And, the popular theory now, and I actually believe it, is that he's waiting to make this announcement on the Pat McAfee show. Like, this isn't some, light relationship where he goes on the show for a buddy every once in a while. He goes on for big money, and there's been big news on that show. I think he's waiting for the McAfee live event next Wednesday. Your thoughts on all of that?
Who do we call at the McAfee show to get credentialed for that?
Cabali.
You want that assignment?
As long as he's awake.
Yeah, as long as he's awake, he could have that assignment. I don't know. You might be right. I mean, that would be a little bit too much of a show for me, with the whole thing. But I suppose that could happen. I honestly, Joe, I can't think of a good answer of why he is waiting. The Vikings thing is out there. Their GM didn't close the door on that. I've been critical of the Vikings for doing that because just drafted a guy in the top 10 who you thought was going to be your future, and now you're going to, retard that by bringing in a 42-year-old. I don't really get that. But, I think both of those things are possibilities, but I don't have a firm answer for you on why this is dragging on. We're now 2 weeks out from his visit on the South Side. We are, I think that picture of him and Metcalf happened over the weekend, so we're almost a week from that. I honestly don't know what the holdup is.
Ray, what do you think the ceiling is if Rodgers is here? What's the ceiling and the floor?
Well, listen, I mean, he only won 5 games with the Jets last season, so, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's going to be an automatic playoff appearance, but Steelers have a much better defense than the Jets. I think they know how to win better than that organization. I think 4 would probably be 8 wins. I think best case scenario, Donnie, 11 wins, get to the playoffs, and we'll see if he can get them a win. I'm not even saying that's a strong possibility, but I think anywhere between 8 and 11 wins is a pretty good target.
Do they win a playoff game?
It would depend on the matchup. If they got... they somehow won the division, and let's say they were playing host to, like the Bengals in the first round. Yeah, they could do that. But if they have to go on the road again and play a team like the Ravens, I don't think that's a great chance of that happening.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You may.
Ray, you ready? This is going to be a big one.
Ready, Joe.
All right. Where will the Steelers take a running back if they take one?
3rd or 4th round.
Any chance if Genty or the kid from North Carolina, Hampton, if they're available, that they'll jump in the 1st round?
Yes. Small chance, but there is a chance.
Of all these QBs, in your humble opinion, let's take Cam Ward. It seems like Cam Ward is widely recognized as the best. Who's the second best quarterback in this draft if Ray Fittipaldo was drafting?
I would say Sanders and then Dart.
Kenny Pickett will start for the Browns this season.
Initially, yes.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine an opener, if it's the Browns, of Kenny Pickett against Rudolph? Percent chance that Mason will be the Steelers starter.
That's going to be a little bit higher. I'll say 12%.
If you're drafting, you're running a draft room, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, who are you taking?
Travis Hunter. Dual threat.
What's the win differential between Mason and Aaron Rodgers for the Steelers? Do we improve by 1, 2, or more with Rodgers, or not at all?
Yeah, it's not much. Maybe a win or so. Maybe 2. That's it.
Cordarrelle Patterson will be here next season.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Cordarrelle, these guys are all laughing, too, out here. Ray, what is going on here? What is his obsession with Cordarrelle Patterson? He's 68 years old.
They could have saved, I think, $3.5 million on their cap if they cut him in March. But usually if they don't cut a guy in March, that means he's got a pretty good shot of making the roster. But let's see how it all works out. You know, Kenneth Gainwell is here. They're going to draft a running back. He could be cut in September and, you know, would all be happy about it, I suppose.
Percent chance that, like last season, the Steelers' season is on the line in the last game of the regular season, or at least their playoff seeding, and Artie Smith calls for the frozen cadaver of Cordarrelle Patterson to take a pitch out.
That's a pretty good percentage of that happening. I'll say 15%.
All right, Ray. Actually, I'll let you go on this one. And this might be crazy, but I love having a dynamic playmaker, hitter, cover guy at the back end of the defense. And I'm starting to wonder if Minka, at his price, is that guy anymore. Like, I look at Kyle Hamilton. I look at tons of teams from NFL history when they have that guy. There's this Nick Emmanuori. There's Malachi Starks. Emmanuori from South Carolina. Malachi from, I believe, Georgia. Both just freakish athletes. One of them, Emmanuori, compared to Cam Chancellor. Man, I would not be critical. I would if they passed up Jackson Dart. But I would not be critical if the Steelers took that kind of guy for the back end of their defense. Would you? And do you think it's possible?
I would, just, Joe, because the reason of the way teams can scheme against taking safeties out of the game, we've seen it for the last 2 years with Minka. You don't have to throw a safety's way. He's not always in the play. And the way the Steelers use their safeties, I'm not 100% convinced that they would get the most out of a guy like Starks or the kid from South Carolina. So in a different era, a different time, I'd be okay with it, but I wouldn't do it.
Donnie, do you have anything to add? Anything you wanted to ask Ray? Any burning question at the end of our interview?
Ray, more home runs in this series, the Pirates or Aaron Judge?
Boy, Judge had a hard time against the guy from Arizona the other night. I think he got him three times, sat him down. I'll go Judge. I'll go Judge has two. Pirates have one.
Thank you, Ray, for all your time.
All right, guys. Enjoy the game.
Ray.
I'll talk to you.
See you, buddy.